You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets Jeff.
A little bit of knowledge?
That's correct. Yes. You got it. Woo-hoo. On the first try. You are very knowledgeable indeed.
That never happens.
It's me, Jeff, and Neil in the studio. We are sans Matt. Sad.
Yeah, we're sad. Where is Matt, Ken? I think he's
He's in the sands trying to discover the tomb of Tutankhamun, but it's already been discovered. So
he's just looking at a bunch of dirt and sand.
A bunch of the good artifacts in the British Museum.
We told him it was already discovered. He didn't listen. He went anyways.
He keeps asking people where Brendan Fraser is. We say, well, he's on the awards trail.
He's on his way back. Yeah.
He's trying to win an Academy Award for
Can't
The Whale.
Can't wait to see him up on that stage.
I know. I hope so, because we said it's the
Renaissance.
The Renaissance.
Indeed.
That's right. What's your favorite Brendan Fraser movie, by the way?
Bedazzled.
That is a good one, Jeff.
Blast from the Past.
That's another good one.
Bedazzled is sneaky funny.
110%, right?
110%. Yeah. That's the best.
And Encino Man's a great one, too, but I love The Mummy. He's just so good in The Mummy, so I got to give it to him there.
Shout out to Brendan Fraser. I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, I hope he is. Yeah, one day he'll come on the show. But other than Brendan Fraser, we have some great guests here in his place. Both of them have also, I assume, fought mummies and hung out with Pauly Shore, but we'll find out in a minute. Our first guest is in a long line of people that we've been thanking over the last 10 episodes that have helped us get to 300. And the reason we are thanking them is because they are our first patrons. And this person joined Patreon October 20th, 2017. One of our first 10 patrons ever, which we are so appreciative of. He's a savage superstar on Patreon from Brooklyn, New York. Our friend Dave Nelson. How are you, Dave?
And I'll say a heck of a guy.
Thank you very much. Good, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Now, Dave, we want you to remind the folks at home what you're up to. But I do want to say when we were in New York recently, when Colleen and I got engaged, Jeff was there. When Jeff and everyone left, I was walking down the street with Colleen and we were trying to catch a train. And I was like, I think I saw Dave Nelson angrily walking somewhere. And it ended up being you going into work, I think. Was that right?
That's right. Yeah. So I work right near 42nd Street where I think you were stalking me.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Did you catch him or no?
No. Well, it was right by Bryant Park and we were trying to catch the train. And then when he went back, I'm like, I told Colleen, I was like, I think that's Dave Nelson, one of our friends and listeners. And she's like, oh, maybe it is, but don't bug him. He's like walking to work.
Was he just cursing under his breath?
And he just said, oh, those Triviality boys.
And the funny thing is, that's the best celebrity Neil saw the entire time we were there, despite the fact that we saw Famke Janssen. And after we left, you guys saw who?
Oh, the Jonas Brothers.
You saw the Jonas Brothers.
I almost peed in the same stall as Nick Jonas.
At the same time.
Yeah, right. Well, then I probably would have been arrested for TMZ. But so, Dave, that was you. You live in New York. You're a man about town. But tell people at home what you're up to over there.
Sure. Still doing the same stuff I've been doing. I work as a lawyer for a Japanese company or their office here in New York. Started hosting trivia at a local bar a couple months ago, sort of by accident. So some of these questions you'll hear tonight have come from quizzes I've given there. Some of them are new, but hopefully all of them will be fun to answer.
And we have some listeners in Brooklyn. Any shout out for the bar if they want to come play?
Sure. Yeah. Every other Tuesday night, we're at the Sackett Bar in Park Slope, Brooklyn, just off of 4th Avenue on Sackett Street. Kickoff around 8 o'clock, and it's a good time. Swing by.
I've been told a lot of the best things start by accident. This podcast, my parents said that I was an accident. So, you know, I'm pretty happy.
Oh, that's good, Jeff. Well, we don't think you're an accident. We love you here. But yeah, all of our Brooklyn listeners, go say hi to, well, maybe not. We'll keep up appearances for the show. But Dave, thank you very much for joining us. And we're so excited to introduce our next guest. There really is no introduction that can do him service. But
and you've heard him on more episodes than any other person
besides the four of us.
That's true.
Well, actually, more than Matt.
We had a wishing well. Ken bought a book called The Secret. Jeff had a manifestation wall. We've been trying to get him on the show forever, and we're so excited to have him here.
The stars aligned.
Coming to us from Rockford, Illinois, none other than the rules guy himself, Darren Marlar. How are you, Darren?
Well, hey there. Thank you very much. It's so great to be here with Famke Jensen and the Jonas Brothers. I really appreciate you guys bringing me on. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
We're so excited.
Or is that the accident? Am I on the wrong? Am I on the wrong podcast?
Now, Darren, does Neil stalk you as well?
Well, if he does, he's really good at it because I have yet to catch him.
He is good.
Okay. I know. I've only changed the shirt of the werewolf statue behind Darren once without him knowing.
yeah, a great call for an audio podcast there, Neil.
Yeah, Neil's really good at that.
People will love that. Yeah.
That's what we try to do here, stay professional. But Darren, so everyone knows your voice. You've done our intro, you've done our rules for 5 years now. But tell people about you.
Goodness gracious, have I been dealing with you guys for 5 years?
You only had to deal with us the one time to record this stuff.
Thanks for taking the fun out of it.
Yeah, you're breaking the fourth wall, Ken.
Oh, yeah,
remember,
sorry, he does it live every week.
Too late now. Yeah, I've done the Australian accent. And actually, I am the host of my own podcast. It's called Weird Darkness. And if you like stuff like the paranormal, the supernatural, true crime, extraterrestrials, unsolved mysteries, all of that strange and macabre stuff, I do an episode 7 days a week there. And I am also a professional voice artist, which is, I think how you and I guys we all met. Was just through that aspect of what I do. And so I'm here all day long in front of a microphone doing my thing outside of Rockford, Illinois, about 90 miles northwest of Chicago. And I love my job. This is what I do full time, hanging out with guys like you and voicing stuff like what you guys have asked for. I love doing that movie trailer guy that you asked for. That's one of my favorite things that people ask me to do.
And speaking of all the great work that you do, is there anywhere people can find you if they'd like to hire you for something of their own?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. You can find the podcast at weirddarkness.com. And there is also a place there. There's one of the pages where you can, it'll take you to kind of like a demo site of everything that I've done. A lot of YouTube videos of me doing the various voices where you can hire me from there. So yeah, if you just remember weirddarkness.com, that's probably the easiest way to go. I appreciate you telling people that. Thanks.
Of course. We want to help to support you and get people to interact with you as well. And although we don't have a podcast called Weird Darkness, that's what happens in the studio basically after we record every time. So.
Yes. Yeah. It makes us feel very uncomfortable.
I try. Well, Dave, you're hosting the game. Darren decided to partner with me today, and since my voice is gone from being sick and it's still on the mend, and Darren has the golden voice, we're going to be the voice and the voiceless.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here across from Jeff, and I'm looking at a nicely scented candle sitting here in the studio, and it's called Sand and Fog. So we'll be Sand and Fog. Which one are you? You're the sand or the fog?
I'm sand.
I think Jeff would be sand.
All right, I'll be the fog.
I'm coarse. I'm gritty.
Yeah.
I get everywhere.
Ken,
Kenneth has been drinking a lot, fog. So he's foggy.
Yeah, that's right. Ken, I'll let you take it away because we often say this every episode, but this is going to be the most special time we've ever said it before.
Let's toss it to the live rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
And
I can guarantee you it won't be Neil and me.
The cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop.
Awesome. That was so much
fun.
Nobody
does it better.
I think we're going to put in a good effort, Darren.
That was so much fun for me. That, like, it tickled the part of my brain that I did not know existed.
Yeah, that was so nice, Darren. Thank you for doing that. It's been 5 years, but hopefully for 5 years more, everyone will be hearing your golden pipes. So,
and maybe we ought to refresh that.
Yeah.
After 5 years, maybe we ought to redo that.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll do it for free. Send me the script. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. All right. we'll add some fun things. Like, yeah, I don't know what we'll do. We'll figure it out.
Some slide whistles in the background.
Something for 2023.
Slide whistles.
But Dave.
Because that's so 2023.
Now, Dave, I'm sure you're in a lot of courtrooms and in deposition rooms possibly or something. So you have to deal with, nut jobs, kind of like all of us here talking, but feel free to take it away and keep control of us, because when it comes to trivia, Jeff, what's the catchphrase?
Nobody does it better, Dutch boy.
There you go. Okay.
All right. Round one, question one, shall we? So when I do my quizzes in the pub, I like to start out with a few current events. These are sort of current-ish events. Educator and social critic Kanye West has been in the news lately. His wildly anti-Semitic gibberish has cost him deals with The Gap, Chase Bank, Creative Artists, eventually Adidas, and also which Spanish fashion house whose mouth guards he was photographed wearing at Paris Fashion Week.
All right, I wrote some fast fashion that was Spanish, and then Jeff wrote some fashion, so we're going to go with Jeff's answer.
Okay, so you're both locked in. So, Darren, do you have any idea on this one? I have a guess, but I didn't know where your head was at.
I have no idea. So, not a clue.
I'm hoping we'll start off on the right foot here. I believe he had a deal with Balenciaga, which I believe is Spanish. So we're going to lock in with Balenciaga.
Yeah, we too went with Balenciaga.
The answer is Balenciaga. Well done.
Nicely done, guys.
All right, question number two. The U.S. Mint recently issued a new quarter commemorating the life of what Chinese-American actress of the 20s and 30s, making her the first Asian-American to appear on any U.S. coin or currency?
Oh, we're locked in.
That's great, because I'm usually the currency guy, but Ken had it right away.
I can see your face, and I don't know if there's a May in there. No, I can't remember. I'm going to just... not sound good trying to figure this one out, because I used to know it, but I'm not pulling it.
Billy Bobby May Brown.
Okay, yeah, we'll go Billy Bobby May Brown.
This person's face was always plastered on the homepage of the Criterion Channel when I'd flip it on. I believe it's Anna May Wong.
That's right. Appearing in your screen soon, if she hasn't already, is Anna May Wong.
Nice.
At least I got the May right. I knew it was something like
that. You got the May right, yeah. Criterion, Neil.
I know, and I'm on the Criterion app quite a bit, but just don't watch a lot of the older stuff. So,
yeah, I saw this announcement a while back, and I didn't realize they had never put an Asian American woman on any currency. So it's exciting.
All right, question number three: a Lubbock, Texas pizzeria recently raised eyebrows after creating a novelty pizza containing fake blood, an eyeball, a dismembered finger, and ramen noodles. Simulating intestines, in tribute to which historical figure recently portrayed by actor Evan Peters?
We're locked in.
You're locked in. Oh, it looks like you knew this one, Darren.
I think I do. Yeah.
What do you think?
This is kind of your biz, right?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ooh, I like that. Evan Peters, right. He would have been in the miniseries. So, yeah.
Netflix thing.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go with Darren with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep. We said the same.
Yep, it's Jeffrey Dahmer. I haven't seen the show yet, but I hear it's great.
I also hear it's very gruesome.
Yeah, it did really well. I think it was Netflix's highest rated series of all time. Yeah, like very quickly, yeah.
Jeez.
A lot of people like gore.
And they're making more.
They're making more, yeah.
Whether they should or not, I don't know. Not for me to judge, but they're doing more.
Yeah.
There's certainly something interesting about the serial killer genre.
They're making more Jeffrey Dahmer episodes, are you saying?
No, they're doing different figures.
But like more like profiles in
the serial killer cinematic universe.
Pretty much.
Question number four. Which president was the first one to keep house cats as pets? A pair of no doubt adorable kitties called Tabby and Dixie. He's also thought to have originated the presidential tradition of pardoning turkeys, after granting clemency to a potential Christmas feast at the pleading of his 10-year-old son.
I think I know this one. We can lock in if you want to let these guys talk.
Yeah, go ahead. There's a name that's stuck in my head, but I think it's completely wrong. It's just a name that popped in, so yeah.
Okay, I'll let these guys talk.
I know I've heard this question. I can't place it. Calvin Coolidge, maybe?
Yeah.
Is this one of the weird Coolidge ones?
I wonder about weird Coolidge ones because that would have been... Well, no, the Depression wouldn't have been going on
yet. Pre-Depression.
So I wonder if it was like, was it Harding who wouldn't do it because it was like Depression era and...
I don't know. So choose.
Or not Harding. Hoover.
Choose.
Hoover.
All right, Hoover.
So this one, the reason I was thinking about it was there's a West Wing episode where Bartlett has to pardon a turkey and CJ is talking about how the tradition started and all that. And I always mix up if it's Kennedy was the first one to pardon a turkey, which wasn't too long ago. And the other one is Fillmore or not. But I just went with Kennedy because it stuck in my head. So,
well, you guys were a little bit late on this one. This one, tradition goes all the way back to the great emancipator himself, Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I wondered about Abraham Lincoln.
I didn't even think about him at all on that. Wow.
All right. Question number five. In my past appearances here, I've demonstrated a mild obsession with the subject of Donald Trump's favorite movies. I first became interested in this field of study after reading an old New Yorker article that describes a journey aboard Trump's private jet from New York to Mar-a-Lago, during the course of which you'll remember he has his young son Eric put Bloodsport on the VCR and then fast forward through all of the film's rich exposition to, quote, get this two-hour movie down to 45 minutes. Well, I recently revisited this article and picked up a detail that I had earlier missed. Among the handful of passengers on the plane, along with Trump, Eric, and the article's writer, was which socialite? She was born outside of Paris, moved to New York City in 1991, and in July 2022, moved to Tallahassee, Florida.
That's my guess.
That's a good guess, and we're going to lock in.
Okay, they're locked in. Darren, I can't think of a socialite that would have moved to New York in 91 and now lives in Tallahassee, Florida. Do you know any famous socialites other than like Paris Hilton? I don't know.
The only one that pops into my head is Imelda Marcos, but I think that would be before 91. So I can't.
Yeah, you know, I just want to go with that because I can't think of anything better other than like Paris Hilton, which I know it's not that.
We could both be wrong, sure.
Okay.
Well, when you say she moved to Tallahassee, Florida, we think that it wasn't a traditional type of move.
As in, by choice.
She was moved.
Mm. And knowing connections to this person, we guessed Ghislaine Maxwell.
Well, that's right. She was moved to Tallahassee, Florida, more specifically to FCI Tallahassee, or Federal Correctional Institution Tallahassee. This is Trump's friend and Bill Clinton's friend and Jeffrey Epstein's favorite sex procurer, Ghislaine Maxwell.
I didn't even
know. Nobody voluntarily moves from New York to Tallahassee.
Right? I didn't even go in that direction. Wow, good question, Dave. After five questions, looks like Team Sand and Fog in the lead with 30, and the voice in the voice is still there with 20. You have 40?
We have 40.
Oh, I did mark 10 here. Yeah, you're right. Trying to take points away from you. You have.
That's all right. You could try, but it's
the
not
fog
help.
Is enveloping me like the John Carpenter movie. You actually have 40 points, and we have 20, so we have double the work to get back up top.
All right. Well, question six. We're now quite solidly in the pumpkin spice season, perhaps even at the pumpkin spice equinox. Good people at Starbucks introduced the pumpkin spice latte in 2003, and of course, the drink became an immediate hit. 12 years later, they announced that they were changing the recipe to include what new ingredient?
We can lock in.
So, Darren, I think they're locking in quickly because I explained this to them at one point. I don't think it was on the air. I don't remember. But I believe they're actually putting pumpkin in the pumpkin spice latte, a very tiny percentage.
Wow. What a concept.
Yeah. You'd think that they'd have it in there
the
entire time.
That would actually make sense because sure enough, somebody called a lawyer and complained and said, I want to sue Starbucks because they're saying pumpkin spice latte, but there actually is no pumpkin.
That
in it.
Is so exactly sure enough, what happened, Darren.
And I'm assuming they called
that,
Dave.
That doesn't
maybe.
Surprise
I
me.
I want to make it taste slightly worse.
I would go. Yeah,
by putting real pumpkin in
because
it.
Because natural pumpkin tastes so great.
Good source of fiber, though.
I would totally go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Pumpkin.
We'll lock
that one in.
We agree, and I think yes, it did make it to air. So
did it? Okay.
Yeah, you guys have worked this one out quite easily. It is in fact Pumpkin. Question 7: Among the all-time great NFL wide receivers to wear number 80, was which Hall of Famer who ended his career with exactly 100 touchdowns and then went on to serve 4 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives before somehow losing as a Republican candidate for governor of Oklahoma?
I don't know. Let's tap out.
Sounds good. We'll clear the way. Hopefully Neil will figure it out here.
Yeah. It's going to have to be you, Neil.
So I believe from my political knowledge, which I'm not so into politics, but I follow a little bit, and I think this is a Seattle Seahawks receiver. He had a sort of a very slimy, slick-backed hair as a politician, like so many of them before. But I believe it is, I don't know his first name, but I think it's Largent, number 80.
Yeah, you got it. It's Steve Largent, 4-time representative from the state of Oklahoma.
No way.
Yeah, I know he played like 13, 14 seasons, something like that.
I remember Steve Largent. I didn't realize he was a politician after that.
Mm-hmm.
Question 8. In December 1780, which brand new British Brigadier General raided and captured the city of Richmond, Virginia on behalf of the crown?
I owe a huge apology to my social studies teacher.
Jeff wrote down what I was thinking. We're on the same wavelength there, so now, we're going to lock in.
Is it right?
I think so.
1780, brand new Brigadier General. I don't know if brand new is a clue there, but...
I believe it's the only clue that Ken and I are going off of.
I have no idea, Darren. I don't know too much about Richmond, but not enough at least to have an educated guess on this one. Do you know anything about this?
If I heard a name, I might be able to give it, say yes or no, but I'm drawing a blank.
Let's see. If you were writing a 1780 war epic, just give me your best Brigadier General name, Darren.
About the American Revolutionary War.
Douglas.
Douglas, I like it. Why not? We'll go last name Douglas.
Or first. You're betraying your teammate like that.
What? It's Marlar?
You're being a cheeky bastard. We think that newly minted is because he was potentially a turncoat, and we said Benedict Arnold.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a fellow who earlier in 1780 was an officer in the Continental Army. By December 1780, he was in the British Army, and this is Benedict Arnold.
Okay.
Goodness gracious, guys.
Question 9. It has been a huge year for cheating, with scandals in the worlds of poker, cornhole, and, of course, competitive walleye fishing.
Additionally,
controversy swirled in the chess world as 19-year-old Hans Niemann was widely accused of having cheated against Norwegian grandmaster Magnus Carlsen in a major tournament. No less an expert than Elon Musk himself weighed in on Twitter to endorse a wild theory that Niemann had cheated using a vibrating version of what device?
I know this one, Darren.
Okay.
I know my vibrating devices, and we can lock in.
Not going to touch that at all.
Yeah, especially after where it's been.
I mean, I think we're not far off with these jokes, right?
I don't think so.
Wasn't he using some sort of special, you know...
Mayhaps.
Adult-styled toy?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he could have been using a vibrating phallic-typed object, which is typically used for the inducement of pleasure.
I don't know how to answer this question. A Fitbit?
Oh, I thought we were talking about...
I don't know what Elon Musk said. I thought he was...
It's Elon Musk. He makes 69 and 420 jokes. It probably was a dildo. Like, let's be honest. Like, in his estimation.
We don't know. We're going to say he said it was a sex toy.
Well, you can bleep this, but the reason they thought that the guy had anal beads.
Yeah, I'm not going to come on here and miss the opportunity to make somebody say anal beads out loud. So the answer is, in fact, anal beads.
Was that even true?
Yeah, he puts his, hand on the pawn. They go...
I think that's what they were saying, yeah.
That
I mean, I should also note that despite Mr. Musk's assertion, there's actually very little evidence to support this theory.
Yes, thank you for clearing that up.
Oh, that's so surprising.
How do you think I get my answers on this podcast?
You mean there was no evidence found?
All right, question number 10. Last question of the first round. Just to prove that no one here is sexist, which team won the 2022 WNBA championship?
2022.
I thought it was the, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, we can lock in over here, Darren, if you trust me. I think I.
I don't follow basketball at all.
Okay.
The Sky is dominant, so we're saying Sky.
Yeah, and it's maybe we're a year off, but yeah, definitely the Chicago Sky was our guess.
I think the Sky won 2021 for sure, and they got like two or three rounds into the playoffs. I think the winners this year were the Vegas Aces, I think they're called. But Vegas is our official answer.
Yeah, that's right. The answer is the Las Vegas Aces.
Nice. Well done.
After the first round, it looks like things have gotten a little bit closer, maybe too close for comfort if it's up to Ken, but scores are at 60-60 right now.
My device stopped working.
Your device stopped working, which means everything's on an even playing field now. And speaking of a nice surprise, we're looking for all of your questions for our 300th episode. So if you'd like to join some of the folks who have sent in an audio recorded question for our 300th episode, you can do so with the link in the show notes. We have about five at this point. And what we're going to do for the 300th is we're going to listen to all the questions live. We have no idea what they are, what the clues are, anything like that. We're just going to play them on our soundboard here. And if you'd like to send a nice message about maybe when you started listening, or if you just want to, you know, send over a question that's going to stump us, feel free to. And we are excited to play it. And thank you for helping us get to 300. So check out that link in the show notes, and we will be happy to hear your question. What's for the swing round today, Dave? What do you have in store?
Well, just to keep the good vibrations going, we're coming up on the 101st anniversary of the birth of one of the greatest Americans of all time, in my opinion. A man of the arts, a raconteur par excellence, whose persistence and late-in-life success will serve as a lesson to all for generations to come. I speak, of course, of Mr. Rodney Dangerfield. In tribute to the great man, this swing round will offer 10 of his best one-liners, with the punchline omitted. You all fill in the blanks. Number one, my wife and I, we never have sex. We get undressed and we can't stop blank. Number two, I know I'm ugly. My proctologist stuck his finger in my blank. Number three, my wife can't cook. She gave my kid alphabet soup. He spelled out blank. Number four, my father never liked me. When he took me hunting, he gave me blank. Number five, the other night my wife met me at the front door wearing a see-through negligee. The only trouble is, she was blank. Number six, I came from a real tough neighborhood. On my street, the kids took hubcaps from blank. Number seven, my wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we blank. Number eight, my wife and I, we don't think alike. She donates money to the homeless, and I donate money to the blank. Number nine, I come from a stupid family. During the Civil War, my great uncle fought for the blank. Number 10, my wife won a trip for two to Las Vegas. She went blank.
All right. Those are the jokes. We'll come up with our best punchlines. Probably not as good as Rodney's, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the Nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back from our break. I think we came up with some pretty good jokes. If they're as good as Rodney's, who could say? But please give us the numbers again, and we're going to read out our jokes.
All right, guys, let's hear number one.
All right, number one, my wife and I never have sex. We get undressed and we can't stop laughing.
Again, the first one is my wife and I, we never have sex. We get undressed and we can't stop gagging.
Well, Rodney's joke was we get undressed and we can't stop laughing.
Right. Oh, it was laughing. That's funny.
All right, how about number two?
I know I'm ugly. My proctologist stuck his finger in my mouth. Hey.
No respect.
I know I'm ugly. My proctologist stuck his finger in my belly button.
I know I'm ugly, saith Rodney. My proctologist stuck his finger in my mouth.
Wow.
Number three, guys.
My wife can't cook. She can't cook at all, people. She can't cook. She gave my kid alphabet soup. He spelled out, help me.
My wife can't cook. She gave my kid alphabet soup. He called out, call 911.
Number three, my wife can't cook. She gave my kid alphabet soup, and he spelled out, help.
Are we getting points for help me?
And the other team said call 911 or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll give you both points, as it's basically in the spirit of the joke.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so gracious.
Number four.
My father never liked me. When he took me hunting, he gave me antlers.
That's good.
My father never liked me. When he took me hunting, he gave me a head start.
That's pretty good, too. I think that's really good.
Number four, when he took me hunting, he gave me a head start.
Yeah, when I heard good that, job, I thought for sure Darren nailed that. I was like, that's a perfect punchline.
Nice job, Darren.
Number five.
My wife met me at the door in a negligee. Only thing is, she was at my brother's house.
I like it.
Ours is, my wife met me at the door in a negligee. The only thing is, she was coming home.
That's good. My wife met me at the front door wearing a see-through negligee. The only trouble is, she was coming home.
Nice, oh,
yes!
I think mine is funnier, though.
What do you guys have for six?
I came from a tough neighborhood. On my street, the kids took hubcaps from cop cars. Not Ooh. That funny, but yours is really funny.
I came from a tough neighborhood. On my street, the kids took hubcaps from moving cars.
I like that.
That's good.
Yep, on Rodney Street, the kids took hubcaps from moving cars.
Nicely done, yes. I actually wrote down cop cars first, too.
Number seven.
My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we got married.
My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we had sex.
Those are both good. I think Rodney's slightly more elegant. My wife and I were happy for 20 years, then we met.
His is the best.
That is good, yes.
See, I don't mind losing to that kind of a joke.
All right, number eight, guys.
That's great.
My wife donates money to the homeless. I donate to the sperm bank.
My wife donates money to the homeless. I donate to the sperm bank.
Yeah, not bad, but I think you'll like Rodney's better. He says he and his wife don't think alike. She donates money to the homeless, and I donate money to the topless. Number nine?
Both teams came up with really funny answers, I think. I come from a stupid family. During the Civil War, my great uncle fought for the Germans.
I come from a stupid family. During the Civil War, my great uncle fought for the West.
Yeah, that's right. During the Civil War, Rodney's great uncle fought for the West.
Nice.
Wow. Way to go, Neil.
I gotta say, I love the answer of the Germans.
during the Zoom,
I will admit the Germans is better.
During the Zoom quiz, somebody put down, my great uncle fought for the British. I thought those this are, maybe even better than Rodney.
I think those are both good.
All right, number 10.
My wife won a trip for two to Las Vegas. She went by herself.
My wife won a trip for two to Las Vegas. She went hooking.
Rodney said his wife won a trip for two to Las Vegas. She went twice.
Nice.
I had alluded to that as a possibility later. That's funny.
All right, we only got three right there, but we had fun.
After the swing round, everyone's laughing in the studio, and all for good reason, because Team Sand and Fog picking up 15 points, bringing their total to 75, and The Voice and The Voiceless picking up 30, bringing their total to 90.
Laughing all the way to the bank.
The sperm bank.
Nice. All right.
Well, twice.
Let's start off round two with
one day. One of my Superman.
Let's start off round two with everyone's favorite topic: pencils. One of the best-selling models of pencils in the U.S. is which one, whose packaging humbly proclaims itself the world's best pencil, and which shares a name with a town in Essex County, New York.
We can lock in, Ken.
Oh, so it was not the graphite pencils number.
Oh, you were thinking of number two?
Yeah, but I guess that's, you wouldn't call yourself, call your town number two. Not if you wanted to have any, you know, anybody visiting.
Yeah, right.
I guess you've never been to Essex County, New York.
I'm trying to think of pencil brands.
It doesn't surprise me that Jeff knew immediately a pencil brand.
Yeah, it is in on brand with Jeff.
I hate pencils.
I saw a YouTube video about pencils. This is you.
The real
does sound a lot like me.
The real question is:
is there a brand that just yellow?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe yellow it's just pencils? Yellow.
I think there's a yellow. I think there's yellow notepads, but I don't know.
I'm seeing a name in my head, and it's not coming into focus. But I mean, yellow. You know, it's better than anything I'm going to come up with. And all I was going to say is it maybe has John Voight's teeth indentations. But yeah, let's go with yellow. Why not? If you're cool with that.
It's just a little shot in the dark.
Maybe it's because I was looking at Benedict Arnold on the other side of the paper, and I was thinking about cities that remind me of the American Revolution, and we said Ticonderoga.
Yep, the answer here is the Dixon Ticonderoga.
Give me well a done. Break.
Wow.
Come on.
Question number two. Newton's first law of motion describes the principle of inertia, that a body at rest tends to remain at rest, and a body in motion tends to remain in motion unless acted upon by a force. But which Italian, born in Pisa in 1564, is most often credited with originating the concept of inertia?
I'm at a loss on this one, Neil.
I have a very just basic guess.
Yeah, you can go with your initial gut answer, Ken.
Okay, we're locked in.
Okay, so they're locked in. I really have no bearing on this, Darren. This isn't my wheelhouse, but I don't even know if he was Italian, but the first name that came to mind is just Galileo, but it could be the completely wrong time period.
Well, Galileo would have been Italian, though.
Yeah, so I don't know if, you know, does that seem like a reasonable guess, I guess?
It's better than mine, which is nothing, so yeah.
All right, we'll go Galileo.
Yeah, we said Galileo as well.
You both got it. It's our friend Galileo.
Don't want to overthink it, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Should have just listened to Queen. Would have been fine.
All right, question three. Well, the World Cup finals are about to kick off in Qatar in the middle of the winter, naturally, and in the wake of thousands of deaths of foreign workers brought in to prepare for the tournament. But no matter what happens this time, we can look forward to 2026, when the U.S. co-hosts the tournament with Canada and Mexico. In 1994, when the U.S. first hosted, the opening ceremony reached a crescendo when what singer hilariously missed a penalty kick while singing her 1980 top 10 hit, I'm Coming Out?
I think I know this one, Darren, at least from the song. As long as it's the person who sang that song, then I think we're okay.
Okay, we think it might be Diana Ross, but we're not positive who sings that song.
This artist has an incredible concert, if you go to YouTube, where they performed I guess you could call it sold out, even though it's not sold out, in Central Park, and it was a torrential downpour, huge just rainstorm that completely ruined the concert, but she continued to sing until they told her to stop, and then she did the concert again for free the next day, and we said Diana Ross.
Yep, you got it. And that is, in fact, a great performance in Central Park. It is Diana Ross.
Yeah, it's really cool. She's like getting drenched and still singing, and there's a wave wind machine on her. It's really cool.
She still looks younger than I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number four. In 1989, British author Peter Mayle published a best-selling memoir called A Year in Provence, which told how he had spent a year living in southern France coming up with cutesy stories with which to fill a memoir. The book's success spawned a million and one A Year Of type memoirs. I'm going to give you four of them. Three are real and one I just made up. Points to you if you can identify the phony one. A Year of Miracles, Daily Devotions and Reflections. B, My Soprano's Year, Living and Learning the Lessons of America's True First Family. C, A Year Without Underwear, Exploring the World on a Bicycle. And D, Eat This Book, A Year of Gorging and Glory on the Competitive Eating Circuit.
All right, we've locked in with a guess. It's purely that, a guess, because Dave did a good job.
Dave did do a good job, indeed. Where are you leaning, Darren?
B, because it's so pop culture, I think maybe that would be the off one.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
So, and then D was Eat This Book. I could go with either B or D, but I think D is somewhat plausible to be real. So I would guess B, but I have no idea how flawed my logic is.
I was between B and D as well. And like you said, it's pop culture. It could be plausible, but maybe, yeah, maybe we go, you're saying
that would also be the easier one to make up.
Yeah, right, too, exactly. So I think we're going to say B as well, the Sopranos one.
And we also said the Sopranos one.
Well, there's no getting anything past you guys. That's the one I made up, by Sopranos year, Living and Learning Lessons of America's True First Family.
Nice. Well, it was hard to suss out, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that was well written.
Yeah, that was a great question.
Thank you. Question five. Which article of clothing, believed to have been invented in the 1940s for military use, did Project Runway's Tim Gunn once shockingly admit to wearing, confessing that it was, in fact, the single least fashionable thing that he owned?
All right, we're locked in.
I'll tell you what, his Kevlar evening vest to die for.
Or not.
What do you think it could be? I'm trying to think of some military clothing, Darren, that might be...
Being a celebrity, he might actually have worn a bulletproof vest, but then later been, yeah, it's not fashionable, but I wore it.
I mean, we could go with that. Yeah, I'm not coming up with anything else. I mean, I think I remember hearing this, but it's just not coming to me. But yeah, if you want to go bulletproof vest. Yeah,
I think bulletproof vests have been around a little bit longer than that, but...
Yeah.
All right. Well, we were initially thinking a fanny pack, but at the last minute, we switched to cargo pants.
Well, technically, the answer is something that Tim Gunn owns exactly one more pair of than I do, apparently, cargo shorts. But I think I'm going to give cargo pants credit on this one.
Thank you.
It's nice.
Definitely a very close relative.
Yeah, the cargo shorts are the worst version of the cargo pants.
The keyword is cargo.
After five in the second round, there are more changes than an ABBA song. It looks like team The Voice and The Voiceless picking up 30, bringing their total to 120, but taking the lead once again, picking up 50 points, a perfect first five, is Sand and Fog, and who are now at 125.
As the quiz gets dumber and dumber, it seems like, you know, one team seems to be coming back a little
bit. Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem. Number six, in 2006, Fiji Springwater got itself into trouble by running an advertising campaign that said, the label says Fiji because it's not bottled in blank. The American city in question, which has long been sensitive about jokes poking fun at its water quality, ran tests showing Fiji's water contained several micrograms of arsenic per liter, while its own tap water was 100% arsenic free. Which city fought back against these liars at Fiji Water?
Okay, Darren, I have an idea, okay. But what are you thinking?
I think it's too early. It's too early for Flint. So,
oh, I was thinking Flint as well. You don't think it's too early for that?
Yeah, well, I was either thinking Flint or Detroit.
Yeah.
One of the two.
especially for a national campaign, if they were to say it, our water doesn't come from Flint, not everybody would know, except when the Flint thing actually did happen. So if it happened, if this is a campaign happening before that, then it would have to be a larger city in order for that campaign to make any sense. So whether or not it's Detroit, I don't know, but Michigan, I think of terrible water. I think of Michigan, that part of the state. So
Darren, you're saying that even though we both thought of Flint, maybe we go to a bigger city because 2006 seems a little early for Flint. So do you want to go just with Detroit then?
That's my guess. If it's okay with you,
sounds good to me.
We thought that over, but Jeff had a good idea.
Yeah, thinking that crisis was later, and even Fiji wouldn't be so classless as to do that one. We just knew that the Cuyahoga River caught on fire a couple times, and we said Cleveland,
the Cleve.
Yeah, this is a city known for smoke on the water and flames on the water. This is Cleveland, Ohio.
Good job, Jeff.
Yeah, good one. Good one.
Number 7, which author, a 1961 graduate of NYU, began writing as a bored housewife a few years later and went on to publish over 25 novels, receive countless accolades, including the Library of Congress's Living Legends Award, despite having 4 books on the American Library Association's 2009 list of top 100 banned or challenged books?
Okay, someone I think who's had a lot of banned books, but is also a revered writer, beloved, Toni Morrison?
First for me.
Okay, all right, we'll try Toni Morrison.
I think,
did we fall into the Maya Angelou, Toni Morrison trap again?
I say Toni Morrison's also a great guess, but we said Maya Angelou, also knowing that she was revered and probably, you know, there's certainly people who probably want to ban her books for whatever reason, so.
Well, this is actually an author primarily of young adult fiction. The author of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. This is Judy Blume.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wow.
Question 8. New York founding father Governor Morris is well known for serving in the Continental Congress and U.S. Senate and as a delegate to the Constitutional Convention. He's less well known for dying in 1816 from an infection after he caused internal injuries while using a bone from what animal of the order Cetacea as a catheter in an attempt to clear a blockage in his own urinary tract.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in with something stupid, but it's worth it.
So, Darren,
is Cetacea seafood?
That's possible, because my first question to you was going to be, if you were living in 1816, what animal's bone would you use as a catheter? But
because it would have to be long, it'd have to be thin, so it could be like a fish bone.
I like a fish.
I mean,
I like your
have to be, but
I like
it's
your
easier.
I like your fish angle here. 1816.
So like a catfish or something like that, because they have
having deboned many fish. Or, that sounds like a terrible idea.
How about, I mean, it's New York, right? Maybe some seafood, like you said. So maybe the crab bone or lobster.
I'm just trying to think, as the last time I've eaten crab or lobster or something like that, if there's any bones that actually qualify for what he used it for.
Mm. I'll give you a hint, guys. Crabs and lobsters have exoskeletons.
Ah, right. Oh, what about a turkey bone, like the wishbone or something?
Well, I thought about that as well, but I didn't. But when he said cetacea, I wasn't sure.
Mm. So what are we going to go with? What are you picking? I trust you.
So long as I don't have to get too specific, I just want to say a fishbone.
All right.
That's fine. I wrote down bald eagle because I thought it was hilarious. We're just saying eagle.
The birds have hollow bones, so.
Yeah, well, you know, some questions you ask because you want people to get the answer, and some questions you ask because you just want to hear them discuss all the wrong answers. it was the 19th century, and this is an animal that folks used a lot in the 19th century for heating, lubrication, all
oh,
sorts
God.
Of
God, a whale bone?
A whale
bone, that's correct.
Well, so, mine still came from the sea, sort of.
Yeah, but definitely
what whale bone would you not just completely impale yourself on?
Well, as they say, sometimes you bone the whale.
I'm guessing it was whittled down a lot.
Yeah, the founding fathers, I guess, not all so smart. All right, question number 9. 1960's The Magnificent Seven was, of course, based on The Seven Samurai, Akira Kurosawa's classic released only a few years earlier. By most accounts, it was actor Yul Brynner's idea to adapt the samurai film for the Western genre. But in attempting to do so, Brynner ended up in litigation with another actor who claimed it was his idea first. Who was this other actor who was born in Chihuahua, Mexico in 1915 and had a lengthy successful career, during the course of which he won two Best Supporting Actor Oscars in the 1950s for Viva Zapata and Lust for Life?
It's either Anthony Quinn or, no, I don't think he won an Oscar. The other guy I'm thinking of. Well, I can't think of any. My brain is kind of mush right now. Do you want to just say Anthony Quinn?
That works. What? Right.
This person's more known as an action star, but maybe some of the early, more heavy Westerns he was in, he might have won some Oscars. We said Charles Bronson.
Well, the answer here is someone who won two Best Supporting Actor Oscars, but also was nominated for Best Actor a couple of times, including once for Zorba the Greek. This is Anthony Quinn.
Mm, good job, Neil.
Oh, wow. Neil.
I got to get one good one in here tonight so that I can go to sleep.
Number 10. Speaking of the Oscars, several years ago, I had the pleasure of heading to Film Forum in downtown Manhattan and seeing a fully restored print of a 1966 film by Gillo Pontecorvo. It's the only movie to have been nominated for Academy Awards in two non-consecutive years and is based on events early in the War for Independence in which nation, the largest in Africa by area.
All right, we are locked in with a little bit of teamwork.
Yeah, if you're okay with South Africa, I just know that they make a lot of films about South Africa, and obviously there's a lot shot there now, so maybe it was let's go with that. We'll say South Africa.
All right. I think probably this film that he's talking about is Zulu. And I said, Jeff, where would this have taken place? And he said, the largest country in Africa. And I said, yeah. And he said, Algeria.
Well, this film was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film in 1967 and then for Screenplay and Director in 1969. Title of the film, you'll notice I didn't say, because the title of this really excellent film is Battle for Algiers. Which tells the story of the early stages of the independence war in Algeria.
So we got it for the wrong reasons, but I'm happy.
Nice.
Well, I got it for the only reasons I know. So,
I think Zulu is
Jeff
with...
is smart. I am dumb.
I know. I was a little worried. I thought it was maybe.
I figured it was nominated 2 years in a row because it takes that long to watch it.
Zulu, I believe, is Sean Connery and Michael Caine. I think. Could be wrong. Or no, maybe I'm thinking of the war. Anyway, something with a flower. But at the end of regulation, the team of Sand and Fog was doing really well in the first half, but only picked up 20 points in the second half, bringing their total to 145, which means they are just in reach for Team The Voice and The Voiceless, who only picked up 10 points and are at 130. So it's only 15 points separating each team.
That's a very close game.
Let's have the categories for the final.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, the World Cup's coming up. I'm a big soccer fan, so... the five categories here in the final round are going to be group stage, round of 16, quarterfinal, semifinal, and final.
All right, the wagers are in. It looks like Voice and The Voiceless are betting zeros, hoping that we miss more than we get, as we wagered just 15 on all of them. So we'll see what happens.
It has been a winning strategy before. Let's see if it'll pay off for them this time.
Is it possible that we get a tie? I think it's possible.
All right, well, let's see. Question one, group stage. According to the American Kennel Club, dogs in which group were, quote, bred to assist hunters in the capture and retrieval of feathered game? Question two, round of 16. On Ringo Starr's wildly creepy 1973 number one hit, You're 16, which multi-instrumentalist is credited with a kazoo solo? Question three, quarterfinal. The Fourth Man is the title of a short story by Agatha Christie, first published in the 1933 collection The Hound of Death. What was Agatha Christie's real last name? Number four, semifinal. In the men's semifinal of the 2022 Wimbledon Championships, Novak Djokovic defeated Nick Kyrgios to reach his 32nd Grand Slam final, surpassing the all-time record that he had jointly held with whom? And question five, final. According to the tastemakers at AARP.org, the best ever television finale was the last episode of which series, which ends with a couple going back to sleep?
All right, we have the questions. We'll be right back and see who can take the cream of the crop.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
We are back with our answers. Let's have the questions one more time and see how we did.
Sure. Question one, according to the American Kennel Club, dogs in which group were bred to assist hunters in the capture and retrieval of feathered game?
So I was like, retrievers? And Jeff said there's a special category for this.
I thought they were the sporting dogs. So that's what we guessed.
Well, I had heard at one point, at least I think I heard at one point, that poodles were actually bred for hunting dogs, which surprised me because that would have been like the last breed I would have thought of. But I don't know if he was actually asking for the breed of dog on this question or not, but that's what popped into my head.
So the answer here is, in fact, the sporting group.
Mm. Good job, Jeff.
I can tell you that our golden doodle, you know, part golden retriever, part poodle, does not retrieve.
Okay.
And by the way, I think poodles were specifically bred to annoy my dog.
Oh, okay. So I was probably wrong on what I heard then. Yeah.
No, I mean, you might have been right, but I can tell you that mine doesn't do those things.
All right, question two. Category was round of 16. On Ringo Starr's wildly creepy 1973 number one hit, You're 16, which multi-instrumentalist is credited with a kazoo solo?
We said Prince.
That's a good, great guess. Yeah, Darren and I were talking. We said maybe it is a Beatle. Maybe one of his friends came over. We couldn't remember if they had broken up at this time. And we were thinking maybe it's Sir Paul McCartney.
You see Paul jamming out on kazoo.
Well, the answer here, although I think it may actually not be a kazoo, but the credit for the kazoo solo nevertheless goes to, in fact, Sir Paul McCartney.
Mm.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Fun fact on this one, there's an early music video for the song from like the mid-70s, and in that one, the object of Ringo's lechery is a very young Carrie Fisher.
Oh, wow.
Question three, quarterfinal. The Fourth Man is the title of a short story by Agatha Christie, first published in the 1933 collection The Hound of Death. What was Agatha Christie's real last name?
We don't know at all, so we said Kensington.
It's a good guess. So I think there's a little bit of trickery here from Dave. Agatha Christie, she married Archibald Christie, who was a veteran and didn't have a good marriage, but she got famous when she had that last name, so she kept it. So she was Agatha Christie her rest of her life. She married Max Mallowan, an archaeologist, didn't take his name. Her maiden name was Miller, but she never had a pseudonym other than Mary Westmacott that she wrote romance novels under. So her real name would be Agatha Christie.
Yep, I thought it was a pseudonym when I started writing this question. And it turns out I was totally wrong about that and thought maybe if I was wrong about that, some other people would be wrong about that. And I've been proven correct. The answer is Christie, and her married name was Miller. Neil, if you guys had wagered any points, I would be obligated to give you bonus points at this point.
That's all right. We'll pat ourselves on the back. It was all Darren.
The way it's looking now is not so
we'll
good
take zero
for us.
Zero times so two.
The zero route may be the right route.
So if we get both of these right, we win. Mm-hmm. If we get one more of these right, we tie.
Oh, wow.
And if we get neither of them right,
we
you
lose.
Win.
Oh, wow. This is intense.
No pressure.
All right, number four, semifinal. Men's semifinal of the 2022 Wimbledon Championships. Novak Djokovic beat Nick Kyrgios to reach his 32nd Grand Slam final, surpassing the all-time record that he had jointly held with whom?
I hope we're right. It was kind of between in my head Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, and we said Roger Federer.
Ooh, I forgot about Federer. We just thought maybe it was Nadal because they're always kind of lockstep, so we said Nadal.
And the answer here is the man from Switzerland, Roger Federer. And number five in the category of final, according to the tastemakers at AARP.org, the best ever television finale was the last episode of which series, which ends with a couple going back to sleep.
So there was a little bit of discussion here because we know that the plot of this revolves around two shows starring Bob Newhart. And we went with the Bob Newhart show.
You can go ahead, Darren.
Actually, if I remember correctly, the Bob Newhart show was the first one.
No.
The original. And Newhart was the follow-up, his second show. And it was at the end of Newhart that he ended up waking up with Suzanne Pleshette from the Bob Newhart show.
And Darren, you could not possibly be any more correct. You're 100% correct. The answer is Newhart.
So losing 15 points on that final round makes us tie with you at what?
130.
All right. Dave, do you have a tiebreaker prepared?
Well, yes, I do, in fact. And here is that tiebreak question. So whoever gets closest to the correct number here will win all the marbles. How many votes did Lula da Silva receive in the recent Brazilian presidential election?
Yeah, how about we say 11,923?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. I like what I'm hearing. We said 45 million.
Well, the correct answer, gentlemen, is 60,345,999.
What I write on my paper?
Ken originally wrote 60 million, and I didn't think that many people turned out. Wow.
Yeah, they have huge.
That's incredible. Out
there. All right. Well, it's been something like 200 episodes since we had a tie. But in this tie, it turns out that the sand and the fog are today's cream of the crop.
And you, Triviality, I'm talking to you. You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Well done. Great game.
Wow.
Thank you so much, guys.
My brain hurts.
Great game. Wow.
We were in it till the end, Darren. It's all that matters.
I'm honestly very surprised that we got that close.
Yeah.
I even emailed you before this going, are you really sure you want to do this? Because I know nothing about everything.
Yeah, we're really sure.
Positive.
Yeah, we did a great job. You did a great job specifically. And Darren, we're just so honored that you were here with us today, getting to spread the love and give the listeners what they want. They've been clamoring for you to be on. That's no joke. We've gotten emails and messages. We want Darren on the podcast, and you're here. So thank you very much.
You're never going to get those emails ever again after this show. after this, oh my gosh, it was awful. Don't ever have him on ever again.
Well, just thank you so much for joining us.
I'm laughing at all of my answers.
No, you did a wonderful job. Please tell everyone where they can find you and where they can listen to you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I do a podcast called Weird Darkness about the paranormal, supernatural, true crime, cryptids, extraterrestrials, all of the strange and macabre stuff. And I do that every day. It's at weirddarkness.com. Also, of course, wherever you find podcasts, just look for Weird Darkness. And you were very kind earlier to mention if they wanted to hire me for voiceover stuff. Same place. Just there's a page there at weirddarkness.com where you can just click on it and learn more about what I do and how to hire me if you want me to be your movie trailer guy or whatever.
That sells itself right there.
There you go. Well, everyone, please check out Darren's work. And he already said that maybe we'll get him to do an altered rules read or something fun for 2023 to celebrate.
Happy to come back.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. Dave, always a pleasure to see you. We've been talking about doing something in Brooklyn together. Maybe we'll get Joe Wen involved as well. But tell people where they can find you and any other shout-outs you'd like to give.
Well, first of all, I want to say it's nice to meet Darren. And, you know, for a long-time listener of the podcast, it's been a real look-behind-the-curtain type of experience for me. As I said earlier, my buddy Zach and I run the quiz every other Tuesday night at 8 p.m., at the Sackett Bar in Park Slope, Brooklyn, on Sackett Street near 4th Avenue. Come by. I'll bring you some prizes. You can win some drinks. You can win some money. he can win some Japanese candy sometimes.
That sounds delicious. And just want to remind everybody that we are also part of a delicious podcast network where you can find such podcasts as Ben Franklin's World, Big Picture Science, and Baby Led Weaning Made Easy for the New Mothers out there on Airwave Media.
And for all our special guests, Darren and Dave, and for Jeff, Ken, and Matt, who is still looking for Brendan Fraser, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality.